This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
From KMOX Sports.
Come on, let's get going now.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field. Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
Now, Matt Pauley and the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
We welcome you into the program. Only 1 hour tonight. By the way, great to be back in St. Louis for the first time in about a month. I am originating the show from St. Louis. Had been down in Florida. Got back over the weekend, and here we are. And we are really on the home stretch to Cardinals opening day. Just a couple weeks or so, and we're going to be talking Cardinals baseball, playing games that matter, and I can't wait. We'll do some Cardinals baseball on the show today, 1 hour long, because we end early for the SLU basketball coaches show. SLU men's basketball, they are set to open up their run in the Atlantic 10 tournament coming up on Thursday when they are going to take on either Davidson or Richmond. Those two teams are going to match up against each other in the 12-13 game on Wednesday, and then SLU will play the winner coming up on Thursday, and you'll hear that game, of course, right here on KMOX. So we'll do a fair amount of Cardinals baseball, a little college basketball as well. I'll let Bob Ramsey and Josh Schertz and everybody handle SLU stuff coming up during the 7 o'clock hour during the coaches show. But we did want to talk a little bit about SIUE basketball. What a great story. What an amazing story of them winning the OVC and them getting to the NCAA tournament. An athletic department that's been a D1 athletic department for not very long, doing what they had never done in history in terms of wins. And then Coach Brian Baroni, their amazing roster, including Rayshon Taylor, who's going to be with us in just a little while. What they were able to do to get better and better and better as the regular season went along, and then just roll in the OVC tournament, specifically in the championship game, as they took care of our friends down there in Cape Girardeau at Southeast Missouri, and the Southeast Missouri had a really, really good season, But this was meant to be for SIUE. By the way, very cool too that, and hopefully Lindenwood gets into the mix here a little bit. That's a conference that has a fairly large footprint with teams all over the place. And we've got, really three teams that are very geographically close to St. Louis, with SIUE, Southeast Missouri, and then Lindenwood. For two of those three teams to be the two teams in the championship is a great thing for area college basketball. And it's a good reminder again to the kids in the area who are considering where they want to go play their college basketball that there are options. Obviously, you have Missouri and Illinois at the power conference level. You have SLU just in the Atlantic 10, and really, really, really building something. You have all the teams in the Missouri Valley Conference, although Missouri State moving out of the Valley, but still Southern Illinois Carbondale there. And then, you know, these OVC teams as well. It's a really good reminder that high-level basketball is being played at a lot of spots that are a pretty short drive away from St. Louis, or basically in the St. Louis market, the way that SIUE is. So I'm so happy for that program. Just through our conversations, when we've had them on this show, I've gotten to know Coach Baroni a little bit. Their athletic director is a guy by the name of Andrew Gavin, who I've known for an incredibly long amount of time. Our paths have crossed professionally, multiple stops in each of our careers, and now we're in the St. Louis area together, and I'm so happy for him, and I think he is a rising star in athletic administration, and I don't think it is a coincidence that, you know, a lot of credit goes to Coach Baroni and his staff and to the players, obviously, but the culture that's created inside of that athletic department as well. Just an absolutely fantastic story. Keeping you updated on what's going on with the Cardinals, they are in action right now against the Mets in Port St. Lucie, Florida. It's a 4-0 game. Sonny Gray made the start today. 3 innings, 4 runs, 6 hits. Gives up 2 home runs, and like, I'm not trying to gloss over it because stuff doesn't mean anything until it means something. I say that sometimes, and I know that's people thinking that that's just a way for me to like gloss over something and then come back to it later. It's not that, but it kind of is at the same time. Sometimes things matter and sometimes things don't matter in spring training. And bluntly, we don't know what matters and what doesn't matter until those issues present themselves in games that matter. You know, Sonny Gray giving up 4-5 home runs in his first 2 Grapefruit League starts, in all likelihood, doesn't matter. In all likelihood, this is just him working through stuff early on in spring. These are his first 2 starts, and he's Sonny Gray, and he's going to lock in. But if the regular season gets started, and Gray's giving up home run after home run after home run, that's where you can say, okay, well, I guess what we saw in spring actually did matter. And most of the stuff you see in spring, the extremes, whether they're positive or negative, they don't actually play out that way. So, that's something where we will see what's going to happen moving forward with a Sonny Gray. I do think this is a perfect example. Offensively, it was a team that was hitting 188 as a team like a week ago. And then if you go look at offensively what their numbers are here since then, they've been a really good offensive club, and we've seen some good moments. And they had four home runs that they hit in the game yesterday, including Nolan Gorman going deep. But we are getting to the point in these final 2 weeks of spring where I think some of the performances in Grapefruit League games start to warrant more consideration because guys have really gotten their legs underneath them, and this is starting to look like who they're going to be during the season. So here's what we've got coming up on the program. Rayshon Taylor, SIUE men's basketball, he joins us in just a moment. We'll hear from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol, what he had to say later on in the program. And then I'll talk to you through this Matthew Liberatore situation, which is kind of percolating as well. That's coming up. It's all on the way right here on KMOX.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Our Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Great to have you with us today. You've heard us talking a lot about it here on KMOX today. SIUE men's basketball coach Brian Baroni joined Ranji and Nate Gatter on the Chris and Amy show earlier today. What a fantastic story. SIUE, they haven't been a Division I program all that long, and here they are, OVC champions, and head to the NCAA tournament for the first time ever. Men's basketball, they got a win against a really, really good Southeast Missouri State team, and that team down in Cape Girardeau, we've had their coach on, Coach Korn, on many times here on the program, has really done a nice job with that program. But it was SIUE's day in the Ohio Valley Conference Championship game being played in Evansville. They win 69-48. They were led by Rayshon Taylor. He scores 20 points in that game. In addition to all that, I mean, you just think about what he does. 1,952 career points. That's a school record. 638 points this year, second most in a single season at SIUE. He was Player of the Year in the OVC, most valuable player at the tournament. He is much more than a scorer. Can also, his free throw numbers, his assist numbers, his steals numbers, huge. Second all-time in steals at SIUE, third all-time in assists, first in three-pointers. I mean, this guy is an incredible player, and he's a local guy as well, coming from Collinsville, staying at SIUE for his entire career, working through injuries, working through a lot, and now he's going to head to the NCAA tournament. And with that, we do welcome Rayshon Taylor on to the program, headed to the NCAA tournament. Rayshon, thanks so much for taking some time. How are you?
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
How about you?
Absolutely. I'm doing good. I'm not doing as good as you guys, though. How does it feel? Has it set in right now? I know there's still things that you want to accomplish, but has it set in yet that you guys are going dancing this year?
Yeah, it's pretty cool. Obviously, to get our conference championship and things like that. I wouldn't say it totally settled in yet because we still playing. So, we got to figure out who our next opponent is, but we're embracing the moment for sure.
What, as this year went along, like what clicked for you guys? Because even to start out the conference season, you lost your first two conference games, but then it really started to come together after that. Can you explain to me a little bit about how you guys got better and better as the season went along?
Yeah, like you said, we started off our conference season 0-2 right before Christmas. And I think right after Christmas, we found our identity, and we were able to turn our season around. I think we won 5 or 6 straight right away, starting the new year. So we just played more together and made key plays, key moments, and things like that. And then we were able to continue to keep winning.
You mentioned finding the identity. What is that identity?
We are hard-nosed, play hard, play together type of team. So that's pretty much our identity. Obviously, we got talent and things like that, but talent can always win games. It's the little things.
When the clock ticked down to zero in that championship game and you knew you were headed to the tournament and you get the opportunity to cut down the nets, just can you take me through mentally, like what you were thinking about, who you were thinking about? What were some of those things that were flashing through your mind during that time?
Man, it was a bunch of emotions, but one of the few things I thought about, my mom. You know, she been there with me the whole way, things like that. I thought about, obviously, my coach, because I feel like he deserved this moment. Thought about my homie Dez on the team, just because we had been there from the start. And then, like, personally, I thought about all the, you know, injuries and stuff that I had to battle, or all the stuff I went through, and just, like, how we prevailed, and we got it done. And then, like, I thought about, like, the area I'm from, because at the end of the day, I did this for more than just myself, and I did it for a lot of other people in the area, and, you know, I'm a hometown kid.
Yeah, there's a few things I want to touch on there that you just mentioned. First off, we'll go with you being your hometown. For those who are listening and don't know, you're a Collinsville guy, and you made the decision to essentially stay home. How proud are you of where you're from and the fact that you're able to do this at a school, basically, in the backyard of where you grew up?
Yeah, I'm definitely, I'm so proud. And just to show, like, even the other basketball players that's coming up and around this area, just because some of them look up to me just like I looked up to other players that was before me. And I just feel like I was able to do something and find my own lane. And like, it paid off in the end.
You've had injury issues throughout your career, but when you've been on the floor, you've been incredible. And then you were able to, be on the floor a lot here recently. You mentioned just everything that you've gone through. Was there any point during your journey that you thought maybe it wasn't all going to come together, that these bad things that were happening to you, especially from a health standpoint, that was going to be the thing that marked your college career?
To be honest with you, I never once thought that. Just because I'm a mentally tough person. I got a good support system and things like that. So I always knew I would bounce back. Now, obviously, I had goals. Like, I reached some of my goals my last 2 years, which is playing every game. And like you said, that's something I struggled with in my college career. Just, you know, stuff I can't control. But I just wanted to make my own mark, and that's what ended up happening. So I'm proud of myself.
We're talking with Rayshon Taylor, part of the SIU women's basketball team. They're headed to the NCAA tournament as OVC champions. Your coach, Brian Baroni, he is a really special guy, and I know you know that. Talk to me about the relationship you have with him and what he means to you.
Our relationship, what he means to me, is just built off loyalty, to be quite honest with you. He was always loyal to me, and so, you know, I had to repay the favor. And, you know, our relationship going forever be indebted beyond basketball for him, for both our families, each other, everybody.
It went viral, the scissors that he had that had been put in a frame. He brought those with him, and he had them in the post-game interview. Where have those things been? Like, what is that something that you guys saw on, like, an everyday basis?
I wouldn't say we didn't talk about it on an everyday basis, but the scissors was right above our locker room door. So, I mean, we got so used to them being right there that, honestly, you really didn't pay much mind to it. But, obviously, it was something that he spoke it to fruition. He manifested it, and he was able to get it done. So he put him up, I think 6 years ago when he first got the job. I didn't know him then, but when he first got the job, he put the scissors up, and he said one day he was going to use those scissors to cut the net down. That's what he did, so he stood on what he said.
Yeah, that's really, really cool. We're living in an age right now in college athletics and college basketball where
guys change teams every year and guys are looking for the NIL payout and doing all of that. And there's nothing wrong with that, but you decided to stay very loyal to this school. And I know you've already talked about, you know, basically being in your hometown, but it's got to go deeper than that. Why do you turn away from maybe those bigger financial opportunities across the street and make the decision to stay at SIUE?
To be honest with you, it just had everything to do with my coach and then what he's done for me and how he believed in me even through my failures and getting hurt and all that. Like, that's really what it's boiled down to, just the loyalty aspect. My mom always taught me that growing up.
You're somebody, I mean, we can look at the scoring numbers, and they're fantastic. Player of the year in the league, player of the tournament, all that sort of stuff. But, man, you do a lot more than score. You impact the game in so many ways. Do you take pride in being really a well-rounded player?
Yeah, I take a bunch of pride in being a well-rounded player. Even growing up, obviously, I could always score the ball. And, you know, that's easy for people to look at. But I've always known I had impact in rebounding, assisting, getting steals, getting in passing lanes. So I've always been that type of player. So it's just, I mean, I'm glad you mentioned that because obviously scoring is the most fun part for everybody, but I'm able to do everything on the court.
What are these next 6 days going to be like until Selection Sunday when you guys actually get to find out where you're going, who you're playing, where you're going to be seated, all those cool things that go along with finding out where you're headed in the NCAA tournament?
Yeah, we're going to take a couple rest days, then we're going to get right back to work. Like, now that we in the tournament, we're not just trying to be there. Like, now we got to play our next game and we're trying to win our next game. So we're going to prepare and I mean, we're going to have fun with it for sure. But once it's business time, it's business.
Has anybody reached out to you, whether it's, you know, it's a text or on social media, like just a really cool person that maybe you haven't heard from for a while, or you didn't know that was following along with you? Have you heard from anybody that was especially cool since all this went down?
I wouldn't say anybody specifically, but I have seen a few people on Twitter that have encounters with me in the past and stuff like that, and just, you know, how they still support me, or if I sent them a good message, or they text me and DM me a long time ago and it popped back up. Like, I mean, I see it all, so I'm having fun with it.
Well, Rayshon, we really appreciate getting to know you a little bit. Best of luck. We're really looking forward to seeing what it's gonna, who you're going to be playing and where you're going to be playing, and just an amazing story. So thanks so much for taking some time with us today.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
That's Rayshon Taylor from the SIUE men's basketball team. Again, they are going to find out where they are going to play and who they're going to play against. Maybe they're going to be in the first four in Dayton. Maybe some other things will happen this week that will push them maybe to a 15 seed. Who knows? Maybe a 14 seed if just absolute craziness breaks out this week in some of these conference championships. But, man, it was really good to get to know him a little bit. We appreciate him taking some time. We're going to jump back into baseball. We'll hear from Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol, some of the things that he talked about today. That's coming up next. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. Back at it on a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Again, we have you for just 1 hour tonight as we take you till 7 o'clock. That's when the SLU Basketball Coaches Show will take over. Bob Ramsey will be hosting tonight as he'll be joined by men's basketball coach Josh Schertz in front of SLU Basketball, opening up their run in the Atlantic 10 tournament coming up later on this week. And of course, you'll hear all of their postseason games right here on KMOX. Let's get into our daily fun with audio. We'll listen in to what Cardinals manager Oliver Marmol had to say today, talking about a good number of topics. Let's start with the update on Jordan Walker. Sounds like he's getting a little healthier, quicker than expected. It was never expected to be a long-term absence for him, but the health news on Walker continues to be very good.
He's been feeling really good. Even in talking to him today, like, it was very positive. He got a decent amount done yesterday. So I think the thing they'll test out either today or tomorrow is just actual sprinting. That's the last box to check, but everything has been very positive and a little quicker than we anticipated, which is good.
We're We're just about 2 weeks out from spring training wrapping up, and there's still a lot of roster decisions to be made. I think bench positions are very much up in the air. Some bullpen spots are very much up in the air. And Marm will talk through what really he's looking at roster-wise as these final 2 weeks of spring training take place. And just what he's looking at is maybe maybe it shifts a little bit from guys getting their legs underneath them to the actual performance, if that makes sense.
The combination of that bullpen, how that's going to shape out. I think you're also just evaluating that rotation of guys that we've talked about and how center field and is going to shape out. But yeah, I mean, 2 weeks is a long time. So I do agree that up to this point, guys are getting their legs under them and timing and all that. Right around this time is when you start to kind of kick it into gear and really evaluate performance. But 2 weeks is still a decent amount of time to do that.
I thought this was a really interesting discussion, and it's something that we're probably going to talk about a fair amount this year. We know that this year for the Cardinals, they want to win. They absolutely do want to win. But we've talked about the idea that it's a runway season. We've talked about the idea that guys are going to be given some opportunities, all of that. So there's going to be situations that maybe present themselves in games where you're going to have a choice of making a decision that might give you the best position or best possibility of winning that game versus the possibility of putting an individual into a situation that you'd like them to be able to experience. Maybe there's a spot late in the game where you've got somebody on your bench that from a matchup standpoint would look better, but you've got somebody in your starting lineup who you'd like to experience that kind of moment. So it's hard to, you know, there's going to be every single situation is going to have some very specific details to it. So it's kind of hard to talk about this broadly, but Marmol did say that is going to be something that plays out this year, the decisions that are going to be based off, you know, winning the game, the best decision in that moment for winning the game versus the best decision for development and where you want to get this team for the long term.
It'll be a good balance. I think there's enough opportunities that present themselves during 162 to be able to do both. But yeah, there's certain times where the game may call for something, but big picture takes precedent is over that. So we'll make the most of those opportunities.
We'll talk a little bit more about this coming up in our final segment, but we'll play the stuff from Marmol now, and then we'll revisit it in just a few moments, because Kevin Wheeler was in for Tom on Sports on a Sunday morning, and he had President of Baseball Operations John Mozeliak on. And Mo, not out of nowhere, but he kind of brought up Matthew Liberatore and talked about his future being as a starter. And I think most of us are viewing Libby as a relief pitcher for this year. It was fine to start, you know, stretch him out in spring, but at some point his role would probably be defined as a relief pitcher. I still think that is likely to happen, but it feels like there's more of a possibility that he could find himself in the rotation somehow, some way. I don't really know what that would look like. Some other things would obviously have to happen for then that to happen. But you know, based off what Mo had said to Kevin on Sunday, this is what Ali said today in terms of Liberatore continuing to be stretched out.
He's going after Sonny today, and he'll have 3 to 4 ups, depending on pitch count as well. And we'll continue to build him up. Like I said, we still have a couple weeks left, and there's time to continue to see it. But he's done a really nice job. I've been impressed with his spring up to this point. It's coming out well. So we'll have some decisions to make as we get closer.
So if he continues to be stretched out, that starts to, you know, the question is, do you want to define the role? Is it really important for Liberatore to have that role defined very, very soon? This is kind of what Ali, not kind of, this is in response to that, this is what Ali had to say.
He does have the right mentality for it, where he's mentally tough and he can prepare as a starter and easily make the transition to throwing 1 to 2 innings at a time. That's not going to jack him up by any means. But I would like more clarity for him as we get closer to this next week or so. But for the time being, we'll just continue to evaluate. But he's got the right mentality. You know, there's certain guys that wouldn't be able to handle that. But he doesn't fit into that bucket.
Okay, so we'll get more into that coming up in our next segment because I definitely do have thoughts on this. Last thing, Ryan Helsley, obviously coming off one of the best seasons a Cardinals relief pitcher has ever had in the history of the organization. But Helsley continuing to try to get better. He's been working on a cutter this year. And even coming off the year that he's coming off of, Marmol's glad that Helsley is doing just that, adding a cutter.
When guys are comfortable with who they are and what gives them success, like Albert will talk about this all the time, like you don't make changes when strictly the league is just telling you you have to make changes. Like there's times where you're on top and you're still adding to what makes you good. That's exactly where Helsley's at. So I've got no issues with him.
Good stuff from Oliver Marmol today. We are going to take a break, and when we return, we'll wrap things up, but we'll also talk through this Matthew Liberatore thing a little bit more. I think it's a really interesting topic. We'll touch on that in just a moment right here on the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Into our final segment today of a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. We're done early today because we've got the SLU Basketball Coaches Show that comes your way this evening from 7 o'clock to 8 o'clock. Then the Gas House Gang comes up this evening, 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Myself, Tom Ackerman from Jupiter, in addition to Kevin Wheeler and Bernie Miklas, all four of us on the Gas House Gang today, and look forward to you being able to hear what I think was a fun conversation that we had earlier today. Part of the conversation is based around Matthew Liberatore and his status moving forward. And if you heard me talking about this in the last segment, we heard Oliver Marmol talk about Libby. Really, this narrative, this conversation started when John Mozeliak was on with Kevin Wheeler on Sports on a Sunday morning yesterday, because Wheels was just asking kind of some general questions of, you know, who stood out and who's looking good. And Mo, sort of unprompted, brought up Matthew Liberatore and really brought up his status as a potential starter. Now, right now, there's no room at the inn when it comes to Liberatore being in the rotation. But can that change in the next couple weeks? Absolutely it can. And I would not be shocked if we saw the Cardinals make some sort of move when it comes to their starting pitching surplus. We are seeing starting pitchers go down across baseball by injury. The latest news today, Gerrit Cole going to get Tommy John surgery. He's done for the year. Luis Gil with the Yankees, he's done for a while. There's a bunch of starting pitchers that have gone down, and there's going to be more and more. Major League Baseball, in one of their kind of research projects that they did when it came to pitching injuries, they found that most pitching, not most, but a good percentage of pitching injuries take place during spring training. Yeah, you compare the 6 weeks of spring training versus the 6 months of the regular season, and injuries happen exponentially quicker, or more often would be the better way to say that, during spring training. So my point is, injuries are going to happen. Now, that also means injuries can happen in St. Louis, that they're not immune to all of this. So you want to make sure that you're covered in case of that. But when spring training got started, the narrative on Matthew Liberatore being stretched out was, it was, if it hits the fan. That's a direct quote from Oliver Marmol. When talking about Liberatore potentially being in the starting rotation, that if it hits the fan, they would go to that. You know, it kind of felt like a, you know, break glass in case of sort of situation. And that's not the narrative anymore. The narrative has changed. And I'm always a big believer, and I'm not trying to keep using the word narrative over and over and over and over and over. Maybe I should buy a thesaurus. But I think it is always important to view the messaging and compare the messaging. That's another word for narrative. There you go. Because one thing was being said about a month ago, and a different thing I think is kind of being said now. It's not a huge dramatic change because they were stretching out Liberatore at the beginning of spring, and they're still stretching him out now, and there's still not a clear path to him being in the rotation. But it is obvious that they still view him long-term as a starting pitcher. I have two thoughts on this. Thought number one, I really feel bad for Liberatore that they kind of continue to, I wouldn't say mess with him, but he hasn't really had a defined role consistently. He's been yanked between being a starter and a reliever, and I don't think he's been handled particularly well. So part of my desire for him to be a relief pitcher this year, not so much about what he can do as a reliever, where I do think he can be very, very good and handle some high leverage innings. But for his own well-being, I would like to just see him have a season where opening day hits, he's got a role, and that role never changes, and then you kind of reassess. And barring something crazy happening, like trading away multiple pitchers, I don't know if just putting him in the starting rotation and leaving him there, come hell or high water, is something that the Cardinals are really in position to be able to do here at the moment. If they can. If they somehow, we'll use the term runway, if they clear the runway for Matthew Liberatore to be a starter from day one to day 162 this season, because they believe that's where he's best suited long term, I won't complain at all. I'm good with that. What I'm not good with is just the role changing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. I don't want to see that. Even with, and I agree with what Oliver Marmol said, that Liberatore is a really mentally strong guy and he can handle that stuff. I agree. I don't disagree with that. But at the same time, for his well-being, I would just like him to be put into a role and stay there. And because I think it's going to be challenging to just put him in the rotation and keep him there based off the way things are right now, I'd just like him to be a reliever this year. Now, the long-term value of Matthew Liberatore as a pretty good starter, that value is much higher than the long-term value of Matthew Liberatore as a reliever. Almost, yeah, even closers, even the best closers out there, starting pitching is still more valuable than those closers. And we're not talking about Liberatore being a closer. We're talking about him being at the ceiling, kind of like a high leverage reliever out of the bullpen. If the plan is for him to still be a starter at some point, and if you think that's what he's going to be, then get him on that path. I don't want him to be messed with. And I think in many ways, allowing him to have a full season in the bullpen where he has a very defined role and has a lot of success, and then you revisit him as a starter come next year, I think that prepares him as much to be a starter as anything else, because it's a chance for him to have a full season of being a really good major league pitcher. And yeah, he hasn't been stretched out all year long, but he's had success. And you take whatever level of success he's had, and then you turn it into him eventually being a starting pitcher, and you're just handing him the ball every fifth day. Again, if they're ready to hand him the ball every fifth day this year, have at it, because then it's a different situation, and I'm fine with that. I don't know how that all works out. But this is something to keep an eye on for the next 2 weeks for sure. And I just feel like the Cardinals are actually in a position of strength right now in terms of possibly making deals, that you have the five guys who are set in the lineup right now, and Gray, Fetty, Pallante, Michaelis, and Matz. And then you have McGreevy, who has done nothing to show that he shouldn't be in the rotation. You have Liberatore. Yeah, you want to have more than just those guys to fill five rotation spots if you're going to trade one or two of them. But they are in position where if they get an offer for Eric Fetty from the Yankees, you got to look at it. If somebody wants Steven Matz to come in and be a fifth starter for them, you look at it, and then you backfill with McGreevy and with Liberatore. And you know what? Even if you get to a spot where you want a little bit more depth, you've got a guy like Kyle Gibson who's still sitting out there on the mark. You would think that Gibson, the interest in him is going to start to go up sooner than later, just as pitchers continue to go down during spring training. That is it for this edition of a Graybar Sports Open Line. Thank you so much for being tuned in. We're done early today because we've got the SLU Coaches Show on the way next. I'm back with you tomorrow, full two-hour show, 6 to 8. We'll talk to you then. Don't forget, after the SLU Coaches Show tonight, we've got the Gas House Gang from 8 o'clock to 9 o'clock. Have a great night. We will talk to you again tomorrow right here on KMOX. Nerd!
Cheers.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Are target date funds a smart or lazy way to invest? Should you pay off debt or invest extra cash? Can you deduct your dog as a home security system on your taxes? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing strategies, tax planning, and smart ways to build wealth and navigate big financial decisions. Work smarter, not harder, on your finances this year. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House of the Home Theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a five-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. Five-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show Early Wedge on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. Five times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.